if you hear this. It means that North America's largest waterfowl is nearby. It's a trumpeter swan. They're big birds stretching to 6 feet in length and weighing more than 25 pounds. Seeing them is memorable, but a few decades ago, you couldn't have done it here in Wisconsin. They were regular residents of the state generations ago, but they disappeared pretty much completely more than a century ago. 30 years ago, though, an ambitious reintroduction project was launched to bring the trumpeters back to Wisconsin, and the two people here in the studio with me were a big part of that effort. Randy Jerwitz is a retired wildlife ecologist and administrator with the Bureau of Endangered Resources at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Randy, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rob.
And Sumner Madison is an avian ecologist and works within the DNR's Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation. Sumner, good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Well, give us the story of why they disappeared, Randy, the trumpeter swan, from Sumner, okay, from Madison or from Wisconsin.
Sure. Well, back in the 1600s, there were as many as 130,000 east of the Rockies. And unfortunately, their numbers were decimated due to the market gunning and millinery trade. Skins were ground into powder puffs, and feathers were used to adorn fashionable women's hats. So the numbers depleted rapidly between 1823 and 1837. Actually, 1877, there were as many as 108,000 skins that were sold in Europe. Even John James Audubon preferred trumpeter swan skills to all others for his fine detail sketches. So that by 1932, we only had about 69 in the entire continental U.S. And these were birds primarily in an area called the Tri-State, southwestern Montana, east-central Idaho, and northwestern Wyoming. So we had a rather serious situation with ourselves regarding the recovery of the species.
Now bring us to 1989 and this, or the late 1980s, and the effort, the decision to try to bring trumpeters back to Wisconsin.
Well, it was one of those tough decisions. We had just received legislative authority to have an endangered resources fund in Wisconsin, funded by an income tax checkoff. And so we needed to, you know, your highway dollars at work, we needed to have a project that people could see, you know, what we were doing with their money, a showy project, and yet one that was ecologically meaningful. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was controlling the supply of whooping crane eggs. That was one of the first things we thought of for a project in Florida, developing a non-migratory flock down there. The next biggest, showy, and very ecologically meaningful project that we could come up with was to reintroduce trumpeter swans to Wisconsin, following in the footsteps of Minnesota, because they had already gone to Alaska, gotten eggs, and proved that it could be successful.
And so that took you to Alaska, out in the wild, collecting surplus, as much as possible, trumpeter swan eggs. Could you talk about what that was like?
Sure. We always had to leave at least two good eggs in a nest under Fish and Wildlife Service protocol. So we had quite a bit of experience beforehand trying to figure out if an egg was viable or not, because we didn't have any wild stock in Wisconsin. So I had to go to game farms across the state and learn how to candle eggs to see the difference between a viable egg and a non-viable egg. And with that experience, also with a number of manuals that I consulted, we were on our way in 1989.
And then we've got eggs in Wisconsin, and we're hatching them. How did it happen?
Well, it was a really whirlwind. Terry Kohler flew us up to Alaska on June 5th. We left Wisconsin June 5th, 1989. We got to Alaska that day. We collected the next day, June 6th. And then Terry said he slept over, you know, during the day, and he flew us back to Wisconsin overnight because
wow,
we were carrying these eggs in suitcases with hot water bottles. Low tech, but effective. Flew us, but the timing was very, very tight. So Terry Kohler, God rest his soul, flew us home overnight And we arrived in Milwaukee the next morning. The eggs were then transported to the Milwaukee County Zoo, and they incubated them.
Wow.
But the actual collection was quite interesting that first year, because I didn't know it at the time, but I had an inner ear condition. So that I quickly became quite airsick.
Oh, no.
And for 13 hours, I was in difficult straits. And at one point, Rod King turned to me and he said, "Madison, you're not going to expire on me, are you?" So it was quite a challenge. I soldiered on, and we collected up to 60 eggs that year.
Wow. Well, from humble beginnings, I want to jump now to where we are, because this, I think we can call this a success story, right? What do we see with Trumpeter Swans in Wisconsin today?
It was a great success story.
Yeah, we have actually three populations of trumpeter swans in North America for management purposes. We have the Rocky Mountain population, Pacific Coast population, and what's called the interior population, which is made up of restoration flocks. As of the last North American trumpeter swan survey, there were 27,000 in the interior population, 12,000 in the Rocky Mountain population, and 24 in the Pacific Coast population, for a total of 63,000. Now, we have currently in Wisconsin about 6,000 birds. Our recovery goal, our recovery objective, was 20 breeding and migratory pairs by the year 2000. And for a while, between 1997 and 2000, we were lingering at about 17 or 18 pairs. And that took off in the year 2000. We had 44 that year. And since then, it's been a straight climb almost to the present number.
And Randy, do you see a success story like this maybe being an inspiration, maybe a guidepost to other restoration efforts for birds or other species?
Well, it has been. Iowa, following our success, has gotten into trumpeter swan restoration. It certainly built a lot of credibility with the people of Wisconsin, who continue to donate on the Wisconsin income tax form, you know, to the Endangered Resources Fund. Obviously, they think that the department is doing good things with their money.
And Sumner, what's it like for you, having been at this from the beginning, when you actually see, or in many cases, I guess, hear a trumpeter in the wild in Wisconsin?
It's extremely gratifying, very rewarding. And I should say that no single individual has been responsible for the success. It's really been a team effort. Many public and private partnerships that have made this all possible.
And where, if people want to see and hear trumpeters in Wisconsin today, where are the sweet spots to catch them?
So probably the largest concentration is up in the northwestern part of the state. The Crex Meadows Wildlife Area is a great place for people to go. In the central part of the state, the Sand Hill Wildlife Area is also a very good place to go.
And we've got just a few moments. Do you want to give a shout-out to some of the other partners involved in this process or name a couple names before we let you go?
Milwaukee County Zoo, where they hatched all the eggs that we brought back.
Wow.
The Natural Resources Foundation has been absolutely instrumental in providing funding to this program. And we've had just a variety of public and private partnerships that have made this all successful.
All right.
And definitely, got to add, Mary and Terry Kohler, who flew us up there. Terry flew the plane. Mary made the coffee and kept him awake. So without them, we wouldn't have been it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you both so much for sharing the story today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Been talking to Randy Jerwitz and Sumner Madison. Sumner's an avian biologist with the DNR. Randy retired from the DNR, talking about the successful 3-decade effort to restore trumpeter swans here in Wisconsin.